This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's lock it up with Landry in the locker room.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Presented by Consolidated Communications.
Lock it up.
Fred Landry and Lopez are in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Stanford Route joining us on In the Loop, episode 56. Stanford, you said something before the break that me and Fred have been going back and forth on a few times. I want you to retell the people what you just said about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Why do you want him to retell?
Here we go.
I just want to hear what he's got to say about it.
Oh, you heard it.
He missed the last segment.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
Well, we were up against it.
I will repeat it by saying I think Jacksonville is going to take a step back simply because the league catches up to you. Their offensive coordinators right now, they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we actually make some plays against this Jacksonville defense, because we see how they finished last year.
Right.
San Francisco beat them. Tennessee beat them in the season finale. And then Pittsburgh, yes, Pittsburgh lost to him, but Pittsburgh was able to get after him in the second half, and we see the way Tom Brady picked him apart in the fourth quarter. Not to mention healthy Deshaun Watson, healthy Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
That's four games that are not going to be cakewalks for Jacksonville. And unless their quarterback play gets better, you cannot continually rely on your defense, because that's going to wear down.
Texans know that.
After a while. Exactly.
It's interesting you say that, because this is you mentioned the four games. Their only four wins in the AFC South last year were against the Colts and the Texans. They were 0-2 against Marcus Mariota.
Yes.
They beat T.J. Yates, they beat Tom Savage, and they beat Brissett twice. So also last year, you know this more than anyone, Stanford, 8 of 12 teams were new in the playoffs. 7 of those teams had a losing record. So in the NFL, we're all going to, even the people that know the game the most, are going to overhype a team and put them on too much of a pedestal, and they're going to take a step back.
Yes.
And when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and you look at Blake Bortles, who completed 57% of his passes
Which
in the
terrible.
Playoffs, third worst QBR of any starting quarterback in the playoffs, Jacksonville right now is the same team they were last year. And, oh, by the way, when the Texans had 23 guys finish the season on injured reserve, Jacksonville had one all year.
Oh, all right, wow. So I guess Jacksonville, I guess their coaches just are at Club Med all off season, because I guess there's no. I guess they
well,
don't run
you know
schemes.
I'm on your side on this. I don't think they're going to be.
I guess they don't lift weights. Yeah. I guess, and I know we've talked to the same guy. Hell, we've talked to three Jacksonville people about this team. I guess Tom Coughlin never did squat in New York. I guess Doug Marrone probably. I mean, he's probably a glorified flag football coach.
But Fred, hold on, wait a minute.
So what's Jayville doing?
Hold on.
Their laurels?
Let me ask all three of you guys this. Who was the Jacksonville Jaguars' leading receiver last year?
Hearns? He's gone.
What's his name?
Was it Hearns? Yeah.
Alan Hearns.
It was Cole. Hey, Landry, let me ask this. How many games do you think Alan Hearns is going to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Zero.
He's with the Chicago Bears.
Oh, that's right. He's with the Cowboys.
Cowboys, Bears, whatever.
And then
Alan Robinson's with the Bears, right?
Yes, Alan Robinson. He signed with the Bears. So you used to see so many guys that are now not with the Jacksonville Jaguars as far as their receiving corps.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why I think that they're going to take a step back. That, when you factor in healthy Deshaun, healthy Andrew Luck.
So I guess Leonard Fournette's probably not going to touch the rock at all this year.
He's going to probably touch the rock every play.
I guess having the best offensive line not going to really do a whole lot for him either.
They do not have the best offensive line.
They don't have a good offensive line, though?
They have a good one, but they don't have the best offensive.
Better than Texans.
There is, 30 teams?
Linemen
better than the Texans.
We can argue all the bad things about Jayville, but God forbid we bring him anything good about it. Well,
Hold on. But let me ask you guys this.
Mm-hmm.
2011, Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Phenomenal defense, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
2012, right?
Yeah.
What happened 2013?
Well, their quarterback, the bed.
But what happened 2013 to the defense?
It came back.
Exactly my point. Mm-hmm. Now, then we go Wade Phillips. Love that guy. Goes to Denver.
Yeah.
gets there, they win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after that? Defense takes a little bit of a step back.
Right.
That's what happens. You can't have a dominant defense for long periods of time because guess
but
what?
This defense only dominant for one year, though.
Exact offense. Exactly my point. Offensive coordinators, they're going to find a way to catch up to you. So guess what? Look what Kyle Shanahan did. He found a way. You know what? We're not going to test the corners. We're just going to flood the running backs and the tight ends with passes. And look, they found a way to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tennessee Titans, they found a way to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
Pittsburgh, they were down 21-0 before they figured it out. But you know what? We can actually get after this pass defense a little bit, but it's already 21-0, and Jacksonville's already running off with it by the time Pittsburgh figured it out. Jacksonville, their defense is actually beatable. It's tough. They're very good,
right.
But their defense is not Teflon. It's not the steel curtain.
No, I agree, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I just feel like you guys are just kind of dismissing the fact that it's not like this team has. I mean, they watch the same tape that everybody else. I mean,
yes.
Do you not think that this team is going to, at least defensively, will be better than they were last year?
I don't think they're going to be better, no.
Statistically, they may not, because you guys are right. They're going to have to play Deshaun Watson twice.
Yes.
They're going to have to play Andrew Luck twice, all right? But at the same time, isn't there something to be said for a team when the culture's been bad to finally break through?
Absolutely.
And what do I always
no
and,
doubt
and
about
here's
it.
The deal. Think about it this way too. What have we kept hearing from the Texans all year long, or from all season long this year, about how you had a full off season, you had new people in place, Luke Richardson this, Luke Richardson that, mm-hmm. You got Romeo Crennel back. Jacksonville's going through the same thing, all right? They've had a full offseason where it's not about trying to break through. Now it's about trying to build on what you've
yes,
done. And
I
agree.
Think
people are kind of under, you know, kind of missing the boat on that a little bit.
No, I'm not saying that Jacksonville's going to go and be 4-12 next year.
Right.
I'm just saying I don't think they're going to be running away with the division and looking
well, I agree with you
and looking and looking how dominant they did last year. I still see Jacksonville right now this season.
9-7.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right around that wild card area.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I don't see them dominating. Just obviously winning the division, leading the league in sacks
right.
by a large margin, having two corners starting in the Pro Bowl. I don't see that happening.
Okay.
But
okay.
I still do see them being a very viable team.
In
yes.
the mix. In the mix
yeah.
at the end of the
yeah.
year.
They're
okay.
in the hunt.
We're at least in
no
agreement
doubt about
on
it,
that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We disagree about everything else, but I like that.
And this is the other thing about Jacksonville, too, is that Tom Coughlin's won two Super Bowls, and we all basically call him the default head coach there. It's his culture.
No
it's everything like
it.
That.
Yes, no
it
question
is.
About it.
The 2 years after he won his Super Bowls, they didn't make the playoffs the next year. And a lot
nope.
of people said that the guys got worn out. They got beat into the ground. And we hear about Jacksonville having all these padded practices. A lot of times when Coughlin gets a little bit of taste of success or something, he kind of wears out his guys. And also, a lot of times when teams do have success, like I've said a few times, they just come down to earth.
All right,
let's get to the most.
Yeah, because I do agree with Fred on this most of all. It's not like they forgot to sign wide receivers this year. What was it we were going to sign? That's right, wide receivers.
Oh,
dang it, we don't have any.
Doug, but I think Doug won't even return a text message. Why are there only nine guys on the field?
Dang it, forgot to sign wide receivers.
Oh my God.
So okay, let's get to the more important.
Really,
but that's the way you make it sound.
It's optional this year.
That's right.
You're going to have to come.
No, but guys,
what,
you got to have guys on edge. Look at Dallas. Dallas is going to struggle this year, I think, throwing the ball down the field because they don't have actual weapons outside.
Yeah.
Yes. Do they have somebody lining up outside the numbers?
They love
yeah.
Keelan Cole. But, I don't know. That's all
exactly,
I'm going by.
But you got to have somebody that is going to
Did
strike
you just
fear.
Keelan Cole?
Keelan. You gotta, Keelan. You what's his Keelan Cole? Ain't it Keenan Cole? Keelan Cole? What is it?
Race car!
Did I call him Keenan?
Oh, my.
Come on.
Cole. That guy.
Anyway.
All right, more important question. Let's get to the more important question.
All right.
As we were.
What do you think of Kevin Johnson?
You guys are crazy.
I'm serious.
I think that
listen, mint chocolate chip. Yeah,
I think it's too young still in Kevin Johnson's career to just go ahead and write him off. And like I said before, I think that game against Cincinnati was a great game for him because it builds confidence. But I think as far as Houston Texans fans, they all of a sudden started to get an unrealistic level of expectations for
right.
him because, oh, my God, he just blanketed A.J. Green, so now he's supposed to be the best
right.
cornerback ever.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work like that. Him blanketing A.J. Green was obviously, you got to give kudos to him, but a lot of it had to do with the scheme, the pass rush, things like that.
He was a zone guy, right?
Exactly. So a lot of fans all of a sudden now see him not being the next Deion Sanders, and then they're like, oh, my God, this guy's a bust. He doesn't need to be here anymore. And it takes time for young corners to develop in this league. I don't care who it is, even Darrelle Revis. He started going to Pro Bowl second, third, fourth year, but he became the true Revis Island. I want to say it was around year four or five when he became true Revis Island. It takes time, and I think that I think sometimes fans need to go and pump the brakes when they're so quick to judge a player, good or bad, in this league.
Which, oh, by the way, we have yet seen in a regular season game yet in 2018, so it's still early on the
KJ
front.
Yes, exactly.
Which, okay, let's bring it back to the KJ front since Mint Chocolate Chip here wants to be, you know, talking all big and bad about our boy KJ. Landry's got the audio of our boy, J-Lo, talking about him in studio. And then we're going to juxtapose it with when we talked to KJ out at training camp.
Kevin Johnson, .. A whole lot of suck.
Oh, my God.
So that's in studio. That's talking.
A whole lot of suck. Now, what about that? I mean, everybody puts pressure on themselves, but I've been talking with these guys. Our listeners know this. I mean, this is a big year for you to play all 16 and to improve the play on the field. I mean, it's got to be something that's what you're talking about driving you.
God, that was a low point in show history. My goodness.
That was exactly the question
so
in
Kevin,
a nicer
man,
way.
We're all rooting for you, buddy.
Hold on. I'm going to say this. Do you guys really, really expect J-Lo to go and actually look another grown man in the eye and be like, hey, man, like, you suck.
No. I just want it to be this is what I would have wanted, Stanford, because we had this discussion.
That was the best way I could ask the question.
This is what I would have wanted. A lot of people have been critical of you so far in your career, including myself. Including myself.
I like that.
Tell me why we should believe that you're going to turn it around in year four.
Okay.
That's what I suggested.
I like that.
Okay.
Now, when you suggested that, I said I probably could have gone with something like that.
You're damn right you could have.
But I thought my question was basically saying.
No, it wasn't.
I said it's a big year and you got to improve your play. I said it's a big year.
A whole lot of suck.
Yeah.
What about that?
I mean, everybody puts pressure on themselves.
You know why we're busting your balls about this? Because we do hold you in such high esteem that we expect better out of you, okay? You've forgotten more about journalistic integrity than most of us will ever know. Now, juxtapose that to my favorite word right now with me asking. We did a thing called statistical expectations where we all went around and said who we think is going to do what. Have you seen Bernard McKinney this year?
Have I seen him? You talking about on the field
just
or
in general?
Person?
Yeah,
yes, I actually have seen him a couple times in 2018. Yes.
So he's gotten considerably bigger than say when he was when he first got
here.
Oh
yeah,
right?
He's huge.
B-Mac ain't no punk.
No,
okay,
not at all.
Kevin Johnson, not the biggest guy in the world. Whatever. Just using that to kind of set a scene here. So when we did our statistical expectations, we suggested myself and Mr. Locker here that Zach Cunningham would lead the team in tackles this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've got B-Mac fresh off the practice field, still in pads, the whole nine, which, by the way, he's got some ginormous leg
tattoo.
Yeah. Which that tells you all you need to know about where B-Mac's head's at. and I don't mean that disparagingly. So I asked him, I said, how do you guys feel about stats and all that kind of stuff? So he's, you know, whatever. I said, well, just full disclosure, I said, I've got you second on the team in tackles this year. And he said, well, what number do you have me at? I said, well, I got you at 93. He goes, 93? He goes, well, you got leading the team. I said, Zach. He goes, I mean, you got him getting. I said, 98, 99. He goes, 93, really? That's it. That's all you got me at. And he was visibly upset.
Oh, he now has your face. he now has your face in his locker every day when he goes to practice. He now has your face in that quote right there in his locker is motivation every day. I promise you.
Not only did he say he would tackle half fewer tackles than he did last year, but that the guy next to him would have more than 100.
After he just signed a big contract just a couple months back.
I'm not saying it because my
such a obscure number of 93.
Oh, well, you know where 93 came from? You know what he's averaged over his last 3 years?
What?
94.
So less than his average. You shortchanged.
Less than his average.
So, man, you know what you should have done? You should have been like, hey, B-Mac. I personally think that you're going to have a down year. Why do you feel like that's false?
See?
What's that?
Good for the goose, good for the gander.
I don't think he's going to have a down year, and I think he's going to have a great year.
That's a down year.
If he's going to get 93 and he's been averaging 94, that's below what?
But it's below average. His average, but if you've also look at it too, and this is the way I was looking at it, look at all the people he's going to have around him this year that he hasn't had before. okay? Because he had 94 when he had no JJ, no Merciless, okay? No Tyrann Mathieu, all right? So there's probably 75, 80 tackles at least that you aren't accounting for from last season.
Fred.
So that's the way I was looking
Fred,
at
it. Fred, let me tell you
Should
something.
Should I say 95?
Fred,
okay. Fred, two tackles?
Fred, you can politician your way through that explanation.
Listen,
all you want.
That's the way I
looked at it. You tell a player that,
yeah.
He is going to take that as disrespect. I can guarantee it.
Is Carmelo going to change his stripes this year? Is he going to be able to come off the bench number one
well, listen
and
to this
fit
audio.
On this As team? Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? Congratulations on Houston.
I appreciate it, man.
How's everything, man?
They're beautiful, bro.
So how do you think everything's going to go with you and Daytona? How do you think everything's going to go with you and Daytona? Do you think it's going to be a different game this time around?
No. I guess.
Yeah?
I deal with that when that time comes.
Are you cool with starting or benching? I mean, you're a legend for starting, but are you cool with either
Let's
or?
Just let it play out, though. I don't even know what's going on. I just signed. Let it start.
Congratulations,
first.
Brother. Congratulations, man.
Always love.
Doesn't sound like a guy that's willing to come off the bench to me.
As a Spurs fan, I hope it doesn't work out. So I'll just go ahead and I'm gonna start off with saying that. But I don't. Carmelo Anthony is kind of like. To me, like Dwight Howard, great player. He's obviously going to be in the Hall of Fame. But I think that Carmelo Anthony has not yet got to the point where he's willing to look in the mirror and actually realize who's looking back at him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's at that point yet. I hope that for his sake, I hope he does realize that because I think him coming off the bench would be a great asset for any team.
Yeah.
But he's not. I don't think he's yet at the point where he's willing to accept, okay, I'm now a backup, and I'll just be a star at being a backup.
Exactly.
Like, Dwayne Wade got to a point where he realized, like, okay, this is what my career now is. Let me accept it, and then I'll just embrace it. But I don't think Carmelo Anthony has gotten to that point yet.
And based on that, but you never know. Like I said, he was just getting talked to right as walking out of the airport. So.
But I'm going to tell you like this. I will say this. That right there, the whole, I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
No, that's nonsense. Because whenever you sign with a team, there's already
spoken with them.
Exactly. There's already a spoken agreement of what that team is expecting of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
They've already talked that out. Now, something may happen and change in training camp. Something may happen and change throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
But there's already a growing agreement.
Yeah.
We already are on the same page as what you as the owner, the head coach, the GM expect of me as the player. And I already know what to expect based on what they tell me going in.
I just want you guys to know if Bernardo McKinney has an all-pro season, you guys can all thank me for it. So just saying. That's Stanford Route, John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up. We also got Sean T. Pendergast ready for the triple threat as well. So stick around for that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.